Good morning. Welcome to our services this day. Abby stepped out. I think she's taking care of the kids today. But wanted to say how much I appreciated the song that she shared with us just a little while ago. And we were certainly blessed. And ladies, thank you for your song lead. You do a good job, and it's commendable for what you do, and we appreciate your work for the Lord. It means so much to have good song leaders, and you are blessed in this church with good song leaders. These gals come early, and they practice every Sunday, and that takes dedication to do that, and we're appreciative. And I'm enjoying hearing this youngster. Some people said, why do they bring crying babies to church? And I said, why not? I am blessed by the little ones. And if you don't have any crying babies, guess what? Your church is dying. And thank you so much for bringing this young man. What's his name? Elam. Is this Elam's first Sunday? Yep. Well, God bless him. And we're thankful you care enough to bring your child to church and all the kids. I don't know whether you know this or not, but I'm kind of a numbers person, and I keep count of how many people come every Sunday. I've done that for years. And I think it's important because behind every number is a person. And we want people here. Today, we have 24 here. And that's the most we've had since I've been your interim preacher. And so I'm proud of you all being here today in worship. And pray that you will receive a blessing from being here. Well, our message is famous last words. You've probably heard that phrase, famous last words. And I've had people say that to me before. And it wasn't always complimentary. But anyway, I wanted to share with you some famous last words from the Scriptures. In fact, I just had these words on my mind this past week as one very good friend of mine died Mountain Grove, and his name was Doc Frazee. If you have been around Mountain Grove, you had to know Doc Frazee. He was quite a character, and he was a friend of mine, not from the Christian church. He went to the Nazarene church all of the days that he was there, and we became friends in the community. He worked at the post office as a postal clerk for many years, and I became acquainted with him through the barber shop, and Murphy's Barber Shop, and we started deer hunting together. He asked me one deer season if I'd like to hunt with him, and so I thought, well, yeah. He had property there close to Mountain Grove, and we struck up a friendship as a result of that, and I spent many years in the deer woods with Doc and in the community. Well, I had his service this past week, and this passage of Scripture was used in that service. So I've had these words on my mind for all week long and wanted to share them with you. In just a moment, we're going to read the text. But I am compelled to share with you a story, if it's okay, to start with. This is the story that I came across. A businessman ordered flowers to be sent to the opening of his friend's new branch office. And when the businessman got there, he was shocked to to see the flowers with the inscription, "Rest in Peace." He was so outraged that he stopped at the funeral, stopped at the florist to complain. And the florist was very upset too and apologetic. He said, "It could be worse." He said, just think, somebody today was buried beneath a floral arrangement with the inscription, "Congratulations on your new location." That would be a difficulty. I like the chicken story better myself. But anyway, our text, turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8. Some say that these are Paul's dying words. The Apostle Paul was near death, and he would die a martyr's death for the cause of Christ. So, these are his last words. And I share them with you, beginning with verse 6. Here's what he says. "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." Here are his last words. "I fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." What a beautiful statement. And it's not just applicable to the Apostle Paul, but as he says in this text, he says that the Lord will award to all those others like Paul who look forward to his appearing. And these last words were applicable to them as well as to Paul. What are your last words going to be? What's going to be said by you or over you? I tease back and forth with Dwayne Murphy there at the barbershop. He says, "Preacher," he says, "I want you to do my funeral because I know that you'll get up and say something good about me." And I said, "Dwayne, you can be sure of one thing. I'll have the last word." And of course, he laughed about that. Last words of a dying person are normally never forgotten. You may recall the last words of somebody you were close to, or somebody that you've read about, or somebody that you have heard what they said. Maybe you recall the last words of your loved ones, a husband, a wife, a neighbor, a friend, somebody that was famous. Person's closing comments often reveal their pain and agony or confidence and victory in Jesus. Some enter eternity without saying anything, while others utter sentiments that disclose their values, their hope, their priorities, and their innermost thoughts. Before we consider this message, we need to pray. Would you pray with me just now? Oh Lord, famous last words are important for us to think about in relationship to our relationship to you. And Lord, to those around us whom we love and care for. We pray your blessing upon those who've gathered here today, and I pray this message will be a challenge to them. And may the last words that we speak be important and valuable. We thank you for Jesus, most of all. In his name we pray. Amen. P.T. Barnum. You remember P.T. Barnum? He was an entertainer. He was into circuses. You may have even attended one of his circuses. If you do, you're pretty old. But P.T. Barnum asked just before he died, this is what he said. How were the receipts today at Madison Square Garden? Those were his last words. For him, the show must go on and make money, money, money. How sad, sad, sad. How many of you remember Humphrey Bogart? Humphrey Bogart's last words were, I should never have switched from scotch to martinis. How sad could it possibly get? Joan Crawford. How many of you remember Joan Crawford? If you remember her, you remember she was filled with anger, and her maid began to pray out loud at her bedside. And here's what Joan said. These were her last words. Don't you dare ask God to help me. Can you believe that? How hopeless. Karl Marx. How you remember Karl Marx? He was a socialist and a communist. He turned to his housekeeper who urged him to tell her his last words so she could write them down. And he shouted, go on, get out. Last words are for fools who haven't said enough. That's what he said. Indeed, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Napoleon Bonaparte, remember him? The great emperor uttered these last words. What an abyss between my deep misery and the eternal kingdom of Christ. How terrible would that be? It was Shakespeare who once wrote, the tongues of dying men enforce a tension like deep harmony. Where words are scarce, they are seldom spent in vain. For they breathe truth that breathe their words in pain. That, of course, all depends upon who is speaking. I prefer these last words of the Bible. Joshua. Joshua's last words are recorded for us in Joshua, the 24th chapter and verse 15. And here's what he said. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of our forefathers that they served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Those are good last words. And then, of course, Jesus' parable of the 10 talents. In Matthew, the 25th chapter and verse 21, the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if those were the last words that Jesus would speak about you? and me. And then, of course, Jesus' last words, I'm not going to share with you all seven sayings on the cross, but I would share with you the first thing that he said on Calvary as he suspended there between heaven and earth in his death. He said this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Aren't you glad that he said that about them, and he says that about us? Or you see, like the Apostle Paul, I can say this about myself. I was, I am, and I will always be just a sinner saved by grace. How about you? Well, like I say, I could have chosen several different phrases of last words from the Bible to preach about today. But today I've chosen Paul, the apostle, and his last words before he, well, some people say he had his head cut off for the cause of Christ. Not real sure about that, but I can be sure of this. He did die a martyr's death for Jesus. He lived for Jesus and he died for Jesus. And his last words were these. First of all, he said, I have fought a good fight. You know, we're engaged in a great battle. Satan and God are fighting for the souls of men. And a battle rages for the minds of men. Heard someone describe it as two dogs fighting for the bone in the middle. Who wins? Who gets the bone? Well, to whichever one you say, sic 'em. Every day is election day. God casts one vote for you. Satan casts one vote against you. And you cast the deciding vote. We're engaged in a battle. Bible says in Titus, the third chapter and verse 5, at conversion, we have changed our minds and have turned from the world to Christ. And the Holy Spirit now regenerates your mind for Jesus. In Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 2, says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I've heard that some are so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. And some are so heavenly minded they're no earthly good. Philippians, the fourth chapter and verse 8, in this battle we're engaged. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are right or pure or lovely or admirable, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about these things. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 4 through 5, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know what you need to do? In this battle that you're engaged in, it's so that you can say, I fought a good fight at the end. We need to thank Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Constantly let our minds think about Jesus and the church and God's kingdom here on earth. We need to put on the armor of God. We are engaged in spiritual battle against the forces of evil, and so we must arm ourselves with the spiritual armor of God. We need to put on the belt of truth. Jesus was the truth, and He was the way. If And he was the life. And without him, there's no going. And without him, there's no knowing. And without him, there's no living. Our lives should be wrapped up with Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. And then the breastplate of righteousness. That is holiness. Holiness is what we should long for. Holiness, holiness is what we need. That is the whole of Jesus, the whole of life. Bible, the God's Word, our moral compass, and Jesus is everything. He's my all in all, my King of kings, and my Lord of lords. How about you? I fought a good fight. Are you fighting a good fight? It means that you bear forth the gospel of peace, peace within. Christ is our peace treaty with God, and we need to share that message with those around us as we are ambassadors for Christ's sake. And then the shield of faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And then the helmet of salvation, a renewal of our minds on a daily basis through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus being completely in control. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How well do you know the Word? You heard about the preacher visiting home of a particular family that hadn't been coming very much. Well, they wanted to make an impression upon the preacher. And so parents told Junior to go into the other room and bring back that book Mama and Daddy love to read. Well, he left and went into the other room and was gone for quite a while. Finally, he came back with Sears catalog in his hand. Are you ready to give an answer of the hope that's in you yet with meekness of fear? That's what the Bible says that you as a Christian are supposed to do. What my point is that we need to be armed with the armor of God if we're going to fight a good fight for Jesus. We need to pray, pray, pray. Push, pray. Use the letters push, pray. Pray until something happens. Push, pray. Proceed, mighty army of the Lord, on your knees. Well, that's the first phrase. That's what I had to say about it. Paul could say, I fought a good fight. How about you? Did it say that about you? And then the next thing he says is, I finished the race. I want to say three things about finishing the race. First of all, I want to say you need to run for the finish line. Be focused. Look ahead. See where you're going. See where you're headed. Hebrews the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. With the encouragement of the saints, freedom from the power of sin, focus on Jesus, be fixed on Him, and go forward in the power of His resurrection. That's what that verse is saying to us. Wow, wow! Have you finished the race? It means getting started and taking off in the right direction. And going in that direction. And then it says, press on. Second thing I want to say is, press on toward the goal. Philippians the 3rd chapter, verse 12 to 14 says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So you need to forget the past, let go of the past, its failures and its sins, and forgive yourself and forgive God and forgive others, and strain forward in the present, run with patience and bear fruit and grow in Christ and press toward the goal of the future. Aim for heaven. And then the third thing I would say under this heading, I have finished the race, is you need to complete the contract. Complete the contract. Ephesians verse 8 through 10 says, we're saved by grace through faith in baptism for good works. Somebody said, real faith works. Do you get it? Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in presence only, but also in my absence, Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is talking about living the Christian life. Walking in the Spirit, traveling down the narrow path, being obedient to the faith. I don't know whether to read this or not, but I'm going to. Some of us have just got it in our heads that if we just get baptized, that's all there is to it. I found this poem. It's called, I've Been Baptized. Here's the way it goes. This is the sum of my religion. I've been baptized. Sinful as the heathen Fijian, yet I've been baptized. Sinful ways I never forsaken, crooked paths I oft have taken, yet my faith remains unshaken. I've been baptized. Yes, I chew and smoke and gamble, but I have been baptized. Or the dance floors gaily ramble, still I've been baptized. I get mad and fiercely battle, drink like newly salted cattle, and my lips profanely rattle, but I've been baptized. No, I never give to missions, though I've been baptized. Leave the heathen to perdition if he is not baptized. All my money I'm needing, so I hear their cry unheeding, disregarding the Savior's pleading, but I've been baptized. This is all my hope of heaven, I've been baptized. Though my sins are unforgiven, I've been baptized. When judgment's light a-gleaming on my guilty soul is streaming, then my plea I'm still be screaming. I've been baptized. Do you get it? The next thing that Paul said, famous last words, I have kept the faith. I call this the sixth step in the plan of salvation. You know, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and some people just stop there. That's it. But there's more to it. What is the more to it? Living for Jesus. Being faithful unto death. I mean, this is the contract we've entered into with Him. Be thou faithful unto death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Did you know that Old Faithful's not so faithful as Old Faithful used to be? You all know what I'm talking about? You know, up there in Yellowstone National Park, we went up there to see Old Faithful, and used to you could set your clock by Old Faithful. But when we went and took our kids up there to Yellowstone National, they had a schedule printed up that you could go and check out because it had kind of changed over the years and hadn't been on time with the schedule that they put out, you know. And so you had to go see the schedule, and then you had people line up and watch the things shoot off, you know. Well, we went and we checked out the schedule, and you know that Old Faithful was 15 minutes late that day. Right on time. That's important, isn't it? But not for Old Faithful anymore. In fact, it's erratic at best. To be faithful means reliable. It means to be utterly loyal. It means to be dependable, devoted, trustworthy, to be true. You want a good watch, one that keeps on ticking after it takes a licking. What are you going to buy? Buy Timex. Remember that commercial? I remember. How many of you remember Lou? Lou, they called him the Iron Man of baseball. Gehrig played 13 years at first base for the New York Yankees. For a very long time, he held the record of playing 2,130 consecutive ball games without missing a game. He was faithful to the game. After he retired because of ALS, that is Lou Gehrig's disease, they x-rayed both of his hands. And you know what they found out? They found that every finger in both hands had been broken at least once. And yet he never missed a game for 2,130 games. Have you kept the faith? Have you been faithful to the faith? Many a man can claim to, who claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find, the Bible says. Rare birds, far and few between they are. Few there are who walk the narrow path. But dear Lord, help us to be faithful in our walk. May we be faithful in attendance. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. May we be faithful in our giving. Malachi, the third chapter, verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me, God says. Now and this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing until it overflows. Be faithful in your service so that at the end the Lord will be able to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. And that brings me to the last thing that Paul has to say. Famous last words. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Think about that. A crown of righteousness. You know, think about rewards in heaven. You know, there are rewards in heaven. Mansions, Jesus said. Not just a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. Chateau on the lake, man. And then there's loved ones. Talk about a happy, glorious reunion. I look forward to that, don't you? Worship. Worship forever. Forever in heaven. There is praise taking place. Rest. Relief from burdens. The land of no mores. No more pain, no more suffering, no more sin. And then it says here, a crown of righteousness. Now, I'm not righteous. And neither are you. In fact, the Bible says no one is righteous. No, not one. The Bible also says that all of our righteousness is like filthy rags in His sight. So what is going to make the difference when I stand before God Almighty and He judges me for eternity? I'll tell you, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen to that? To stand before God not on the basis of yourself or what you've done or what you've not done, but to be able to stand before God Almighty in the righteousness that is imputed to you by the blood of the Lamb that covers you past, present, and future. I couldn't make it without Him, and neither can you. Praise God for His righteousness through Jesus Christ this day. To be able to stand before God in His forgiveness and grace and salvation and mercy, justified, that is, just as if I'd never sinned, because I am a sinner and I need His grace, and so do you, because I'm lost without Him. final word I would share with you this day. An original inscription on tombstone read like this. Remember, friend, when passing by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. I add to that inscription these words. To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. You can be sure that the Apostle Paul ended up in glory. And so shall you, if you fight a good fight, if you finish the course, if you remain faithful to the end. Henceforth, they'll be laid up for you in glory. Crown of righteousness. Are you looking forward to that? It's invitation time. The girls are going to come forward and sing. Let's all stand.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful day and everything you have done for us. We pray that you would comfort those whose names have been mentioned who are in need of your comfort. And be with us this week and help us make the right decisions and do the things that you want us to do. Amen.